Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning's sermon is entitled By Faith Rahab, taken from Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 to 24. Our world is in desperate need of models to follow, models that are examples that are worth following. People's whose life would inspire us to do better, to climb higher, to stand taller. And the Bible is interspersed with many examples of characters, pictures, colorful pictures of people worthy of our learning. Rahab is one such character. Rahab, this character which we will study this morning, is hardly to be called a model because she's a harlot. She's a prostitute, a woman of low morals. She's someone who sells her body for filthy lucre. She's someone who has with low regard for personal dignity. Well, she's an immoral woman. This woman lived in the gutter or in the back streets of society. Rahab is undeniably a guilty sinner. But the Bible also tells us that she's one of the two women that is personally named in Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith. One being Sarah, the wife of Abraham, in verse 11. And Rahab, the harlot of Jericho, in verse 31, which is our memory verse. Sarah is a godly woman. She was the wife of the founder of the Hebrew race, and God used her to bring forth Isaac in her old age. But Rahab was an ungodly Gentile, someone whom you would not take a second look when you walk past Rahab on the streets. Socially speaking, Rahab and Sarah were totally worlds apart, but they shared one important thing from God's viewpoint. Both Sarah and Rahab exercised saving faith in the living and true God. Rahab was called the woman God took from the dunghill, from the back street, someone you would say that would has no hope for life, for who she is. Well, God had a different viewpoint. Not only does the Bible associate Rahab with Sarah, but in the epistle of James, chapter 2, Rahab was also associated with Abraham. James used both Abraham and Rahab to illustrate that true saving faith always proves herself by good works. And this is a story that we want to think about, as we want to consider here this morning. And there is more of this lady Rahab. If we search the scripture further, you'll find that the Bible associated Rahab also with the Messiah. When we read the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1, you'll find that Rahab's name was listed there in verse 5. The name Rahab is Rahab, and she was the mother of Boaz, the husband of Ruth, the great-great-grandmother of David. She was in the line of Christ. And God found her in Jericho, a guilty sinner, someone who is condemned to die. God's judgment is coming upon Jericho. In days, Jericho would be overtaken. It is the will of God that the iniquity of the Amorites were full. Remember, in the Pentateuch, the first five books, it's described how the Amorites were a debaucherous race, how they were cunning, how they were wicked, how they were cruel. And because of their sins, God is judging them. The Bible tells us that their iniquity is full. Enough is enough. God says, now is a time for judgment. And so as you look at the picture of Jericho, you would look at the picture of this world that we lived in. As you look around you, as you look at the people that you come in contact with, you realize that, well, we lived in a world of sinners. And yet, you see God's hand coming upon someone that you would consider as down and out. But God was gracious to her. God's grace came upon her. God opened Rahab's spiritual eyes. She was convicted of her sins. She was converted. And God exalted her. God gave her an inheritance among the sanctified. God purified her life. God's grace came upon her. She was like the wild olive tree that was grafted into the main branch to partake of the fatness and the riches of it. If you turn with me to James chapter 2, verse 5. James chapter 2, verse 5. It is an apt description of Rahab and his life. And it's an apt description of the life of a sinner. James chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that loved him?" What a beautiful verse that described the life of this harlot Rahab. Is there any future for such a person as Rahab? Not much, even in the society that we live in today. Is there any hope for someone with loose morals, someone who does not uphold the moral, her moral standards? Well, not so in the eyes of God. God chose to save this woman when the entire city of Jericho is going to be destroyed by his judgment. She was special in God's sight. And as we begin this new chapter in chapter 2, we want to see how God's grace came upon Rahab. As we think how God's grace comes upon us, how God saved us when we were far away from him, when we were in our sins. Well, this is a picture that we want to see, and a beautiful picture of the saving grace of God. There are two thoughts for our consideration. Firstly, that by faith, Rahab fearfully confessed the true God. There was one point in our lives when God opened our spiritual eyes, and when we understood that Jesus is God, Was it any rocket science that caused us to understand that Jesus is God? No. The Spirit of God came upon us when the Word of God is given unto us, and we understood. God illumined our minds. God gave to us that heightened understanding to acknowledge the Christ, Jesus, our Savior. Is this your experience? This is my experience. And remember, in your university, our life was in a bit of a flux. Somehow things were not moving the way that I thought it should be. And I don't have a solution to life. And so one day, when I was walking in this way, I saw a lecturer coming and walking the other way. And he brought me into his office, and he sat me down in his room, and he opened up the scriptures to me, turning to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. I was introduced to the living and true God, Jesus Christ, that day, and how I understood the truth, I cannot explain to you. But from that day onwards, the Lord opened my spiritual eyes. Well, for Rahab, it was very much the same. She was someone who did not have the opportunity to know God all her life. She lived in this hidden city where immorality abounds, sin abounds, and it seemed that there is no hope for life. And yet, as we look at the story, you see how God's grace came upon this woman. The scene opens in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house and named Rahab and lodged there. Moses had died, and the children of Israel had spent 40 years in the wilderness after their exodus from Egypt. And now they are prepared to enter the promised land. And God has raised Joshua to lead the people to possess the promised land. And before them are the flooding banks of the Jordan River. And right across is the city of Jericho." It is interesting because the city of Jericho is a very strategic city at the bank of the Jordan River. It is a city that cuts and divides the promised land into two, the north and the south. And so they were entering in at a very strategic point. Jericho was that strategic city, the first fruit. And Joshua sent the two spies to get information about Jericho. Joshua wanted to know how the people of Jericho is responding to the arrival of the people of God. Providentially, spies were led to Rahab's house. How is it possible that out of the so many houses that are in the city of Jericho, the two spies would go to Rahab's house? How is it possible that the spies would be led to this only person in Jericho who trusted the God of Israel? It was the providential hand of God. Nothing happens by accident. God providentially, sovereignly directs and guides our lives, as he did with Rahab's life. God miraculously intervened in her life by sending the two spies to meet her at her home. You remember when Eliezer was asked by Abraham to find a wife among his kindred for his son Isaac? He committed the matter to the Lord. And when he went, he was directed straightway to Rebecca, who would be the wife, the future wife of Isaac. And throughout that account, you can see how Eliezer prayed, sought the Lord, worshipped the Lord, was very close to God. And this was his testimony. He says, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." It was the providential hand of God that led the two spies to Rahab. God sent them there because here is a woman who is ready to receive the truth. Here is a woman whose heart the Lord has prepared. And interestingly, they were led there because the house was located right at the city wall. And it was perhaps the only way the spies could escape out of the window of the wall to safety. And so God, by his marvelous hand, scheduled this encounter. The Lord led the two spies to Rahab's house. In verse 2, "And it was told the king of Jericho," this is the king of the city who holds a tight rein on the city, militarily speaking. He was the commander-in-chief, and he knew about this. So Rahab's house, we see, and so he says, "Behold," he was being told, "there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." The king had known that the spies were in the city, and he is sending his soldiers to search them out. It was a dangerous mission. You can imagine that it was a state of war at that time. Any time they could lose their life, the spies could lose their life, Rahab could lose their lives. And so they had to take extra precaution. And the king was very frightened of the invasion. He has seen, perhaps from the walls, of the multitude of the Israelites that is gathered just beyond the bank of the Jordan River. And he knew that, well, they are coming in to possess the land. Verse 3, "And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, Thus came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." Well, when they came in, she hid the spies. She risked her life to ensure the safety of these two guests that came into her house. And when the messengers asked her, she says, "I don't know where they were." Verse 6 tells us, "But she had brought them to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the other way to Jordan unto the forts. As soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate." Well, she lied that the men went out at the evening hour, the time of the shutting of the gate. We know it is a sin to lie, and yet it seemed to be such a common thing among the heathen. She has sinned. God knew that, well, she has lied. And the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Well, she has was brought up in that heathen culture, and she had that at that spur of the moment, well, she did that which was unbecoming, and yet God did not deal out with her after her sin, in the sense that the Lord knew that it was wrong, but she was pardoned by the Lord. And for us too, we have to learn, we have to know that it is no reason for us to do that which is wrong, even though we may have a noble mean, we have a noble motive of protecting and doing a right thing. Well, this was the situation for Rahab. It was a time of the year when the flax were being harvested, and this flax that harvested had to be stacked on the rooftop in order to be dried by the sun. And so Rahab sent the spies up stairs into the roof and was hidden there. And so the men were pursuing after, and so the men were sent the wrong way, and they went out, and the two spies were saved, as it were. Verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Rahab knew something that the rest of the people in Jericho also knew, but did not register in her heart to believe and acknowledge. You see, the fear of God was in the heart of this woman. She knew that God means business, and that God is a consuming fire, and that he is here to judge that city because of their sins. And so she saw and she said that indeed terror is fallen upon us. The world that we live in today is ripe for judgment. The signs of the coming of our Lord are before us. Just this week, we read how there is that contention again against the law of homosexuality. Well, we are in the days of Sodom. The Bible tells us that the days of Sodom will be the days when our Lord would return. The world is ripe for judgment. Well, Rahab was living in Jericho. You may picture Jericho as this world that we lived in. And God is ready to return and to judge the world. And the question that came to the heart of this woman was that she believed. That differentiated her. She acknowledged the living and true God. She has heard, she had very little knowledge of the truth, but what she heard, she took it to heart. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God. How does she know that the God of Israel is the living and true God? Well, God revealed it to her. God opened up her spiritual understanding, you see. And so she came and acknowledged the living and true God. And you see, the love of God, the grace of God, providentially coming upon this woman in this encounter with the two spies. Hebrews 11 verse 31, which we have memorized, tells us, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. Rahab had no more light than any of the other inhabitants of Jericho. And yet she believed, while the others disbelieved. The people were not just unbelieving in Jericho, but they were disobedient. The living and true God, the knowledge of it came upon them, but they chose to reject it. And they had wanted to kill the spies. But for Rahab, she was different. God opened her eyes. God led her to see the truth. And she was willing to stake her life because of the truth. And that was sufficient to save her and her family. So this is something that we want to consider and think about. The destruction of the Canaanites is going to be a great gain, as it were, to society, because they were a very idolatrous and they were very wicked people. And so when Rahab believed and confessed the living and true God, there was hope for her. And what caused her to confess? Well, as we read the passage, as we see, the fear of God, I believe, came upon this woman. And she understood the power of God to destroy. She knew that Jericho would soon come under the judgment of God. And she stood firm with God. Remember the instance when Jesus fed the multitude of 5,000, five loaves and two fishes in John chapter 6. And when Jesus stopped feeding them, many left Jesus. They had no true faith. But it was asked to the disciples in John chapter 6, verses 66, it says here, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said, Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I believe this was the same thoughts that were going through the hearts of Rahab. Where else can I go? God's judgment is coming. Is there any way to escape? I better kowtow and make right with the living and true God. And that's what she did, you see, when she received the spies in peace. Rahab understood that God's judgment is coming upon the people because of their sins. And unless they repent, they will perish. But God gave to her to see and understand the living and true God, and to acknowledge Him and to receive Him. And this is the same message for all of us, that God judges sinners, but He spares those who believe in Him. That's the gospel. It is simply that. And Rahab's life was transformed because she believed. And how do we know that our faith is real? Well, it must be followed by the courage to walk with God, to obey Him. And so, for the disciples, they had to choose. For Rahab, they had to choose. She had to choose. And you can see that she was a woman under conviction. And she made right with the true God. She staked her claim. And she sought peace with God and the people of God. And she received it. So this is the first thought. Rahab, by faith, fearfully confessed the true God. And secondly, second thought, Rahab, by faith, courageously followed the true God. She staked her life. And God would protect her. And not only her, but she also asked that the protection of God be upon her family. And that's interesting, isn't it? Someone who believes, someone who is saved, has a concern for the people around them. And that was what she did. That was what happened to her. She had that deep concern for the salvation of the others. And that is a mark of true faith for her, for Rahab, you can observe. So she negotiated with the spies. From verses 11 onwards, she negotiated, she talked to them, she asked that the spies would, that Israel would spare her family when they take the city. As you think of Rahab and her life, you think of her as a life of sin and shame. And yet, in that critical moment, what did she do? Well, she did not think of her own safety, but she was thinking of the safety and the preservation of her loved ones. Well, this is someone whom the love of God came into. What about the others in Jericho, you may ask? Well, Hebrews 11:31 tells us that the rest of the people disbelieved. They would not receive the truth. He had that opportunity to share with them the truth. And so for Rahab, she had to live out her faith, as it were, receiving the spies, sending them away, and waiting for their return. Verse 16, she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward, may ye go your way." And the man said unto her, We will keep the oath. We will be blameless of this thy oath which thou hast sware. Behold, we come into the land. Thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down. So there was a rope that was placed at the window for the men to escape. And they were asked to place that that scarlet thread there, so that when the armies of Israel comes to invade, they would be able to identify that this is a city in which a covenant has been made, that this family, those who are living in it, will be preserved. And it's very interesting, in verse 18, you see these words. In verse 18 it says, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window." Literally, the word line comes from the Hebrew verb to hope. It means a hope or a cord. The line there that was placed was supposed to bring as a sign of hope for her that she has trusted that in time to come, salvation would come upon her. And so this red cord was, you may say, it's become a symbol of her faith. So during those times, before the invasion, when she looks at the rope, the red rope, she would remember that God is going to come and God is going to save her. And it's interesting also, as you think of this scarlet rope that was placed at the window, to also be reminded that not so long ago, when they were coming out of Egypt, during the time of before the Exodus, there was the Passover, you remember? There was the Passover lamb. The blood of the lamb was shed, and the blood of the lamb was placed on the lintel and the side post. And how when the death angel came upon Israel, those families that had the blood of the lamb were saved. Well, it is the same picture, scenario that we are observing here, right? There is that scarlet rope that was placed there. And if you were to turn to Joshua chapter 6, you would see the conclusion of the whole episode. Verse 20. "And the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." And verse 22, "And Joshua said unto the two spies that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, and ye shall swear unto her, as the young men that were spies, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and the mother and her brethren and all that she had. They brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp. And they burned the city with fire and all that was there, only the silver and gold were remaining." Verse 25, "And Joshua saved Rahab alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel even unto this day. because she hid messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And so you see that Rahab's faith was real. Rahab's faith was a true because she lived out her faith. What about for us? Rahab's faith was a true faith, a living faith, a courageous faith. She was willing to stake her claim for her conviction. What about us? Turn with me to James chapter 2, verses 14 to 20. As we close, James chapter 2, verses 14 to 20. God has saved us and given us life everlasting. But this life that we have, this faith that we have, has to be real. And how can we see it? James chapter 2, verse 14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say that he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee thy faith by my works." And this is the life of Rahab, for she has believed that there is one God, and that one God whom she has believed, well, she has wholeheartedly embraced, and she has wholeheartedly received, and it was counted unto her for righteousness. Here is the life of Rahab. Rahab's life is a wonderful testimony of God's salvation. Salvation grace that comes to this woman, Rahab, and how she was saved in that by that scarlet rope that was placed there, how the walls would fall, and how that portion of the war did not, and how she was received, and how we know that she became the ancestor of David the King, and in the line of Jesus Christ. You said that she is someone not worthy. Well, we are not worthy. You said that she's sinner. Well, we are sinners too. But God saved her. And that is the marvelous story, account of this woman's life that we want to remember. How she was a woman of faith, and how God used this foolish woman, as it were, to save or to become the mother in the line of the Messiah. This is the working of God. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for the life of Rahab. Thank Thee for showing to us how in the life of this woman, she believed God by faith, and she served God by faith, and how she did so without flinching. She served God with fullness of devotion. May we learn from her example. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.